Hanukkah Dick Parak. So the timing is also quite good. I mean, whenever you're learning about the depths of Torah and mitzvos, obviously that has a lot to do with our victory on Hanukkah. But in particular, this parak that's going to talk about Ner, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, we'll see, it has a very strong Kislev vibe to it. So I think we'll enjoy it that much more. Okay, so we begin with a lengthy Gemara in Maseches Sota that he's going to use to really build this parak. In Parak Hayanotel, in Sota Daf Chafam and Aleph. The Mishnah says about an Isha Sota, Tnan, Im Yeshla Zchus Tolela. Sometimes an Isha Sota, even if she's guilty as charged, Lo Aleinu, Rachmana Litzlan, this woman was involved in an act of adultery, and the Torah says she deserves to die a gruesome death. Nonetheless, the Mishnah teaches that sometimes she has a zchus, a merit, that somehow is tolala, somehow saves her. Somehow it lifts her above whatever punishment she deserves for her actions. Perish im yesh zchus lesota, right? Explaining the Mishnah. If the Isha Sota has a merit. So the Gemara starts to talk about, well, what type of merits could a person have in this world, and are all merits created equally? And the answer is, of course, not. The Gemara says, it's on Daf Chaf Aleph, one Daf later, Zuchus Demai, what type of merit are we referring to? Ilema Zuchus HaTorah, if you'll tell me that this woman is a great Torah scholar, well, it's limiting in the sense, Ha'ena Mitzuva Va'osa. We know from the Gemara in Kedushin that we're commanded, right? We're commanded, V'limadetem osam es b'neichem, and the Gemara says, B'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. That primarily the mitzvah of Torah study, not Torah living, but Torah study is primarily a mitzvah that is commanded to men. So if you'll say that this woman is saved because she's a great scholar, well, she's not really commanded in the mitzvah of a learning Torah. So it can't be that that's her zchus. V'iz zchus de mitzvah. And if you'll tell me she's a righteous woman, she does a lot of mitzvos, mibna kuli hai, do mitzvos offer such protection? And from there, the Gemara launches into a whole discussion. Well, how valuable is a mitzvah? And how valuable is Talmud Torah? Vatanya, ezo darash Rabbi Yosi, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, explain Pasuk in Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, tola hakasav es hamitzvah ner ves hatorah b'or. A mitzvah is compared to a candle, and Torah is compared to light itself. Lomar lecha, that is to say, this is all direct quote from the Gemara. Ma ner eino megin el shah, just like a candle burns bright and eventually goes out, it can only protect, it can only illuminate for so long. Af mitzvah kein. A mitzvah is a much more limited zchus. Uma or megin leolam. But yes, just like light, think of the light of the sun, we have no impression the sun is going to burn out at some point. Even the fancy LED lights, 30 years, eventually they go out. All the more so a regular light bulb or a candle. So the sun that burns bright forever, or is Megin La'olam, it seems to be everlasting. Af Torah Megina La'olam. So too the Torah, the protection of the Torah is forever, is eternal. The Amar, and furthermore, the Pasuk right before Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, in Mishlei Perek Vav, the pasuk says, "Bihisalechacha tancha osach, on your journey it will guide you." Ba'olam haza, bishachvecha tishmor alecha. The next phrase of the pasuk: when you lie down, it'll watch over you. Zo misa, v'hakitzosahi tesichecha ze olam haba. So apparently, Torah and mitzvot not only might serve as a ner and an or, respectively, but it guides me through this world. It watches over me when I die, and it will allow a person, hopefully, to be zocha to olam haba. The Gemara gives a mashal. Mashal lemahalech mederach beishon layel v'afela. Imagine a person who's walking on a road, making his way through a forest late at night. Umis yare min hakotzim, umin habarkanim, umin hapachasim. He's worried about thorns and thistles. He's worried about falling into a ditch. Umin halistim, he's worried about bandits, robbers on the road. Umin chaya ra, he's worried about wild animals. And basically, he has no clue where he is. He's feeling totally lost in this dark, on this dark winding road. He's worried about physical dangers. He's worried about people attacking him. He's worried about animals attacking him. Doesn't know where he is. Suddenly, nizdam nalo avuka shalor. Imagine if suddenly he discovered, I don't know how one discovers it in the forest. Imagine, suddenly it appeared to him, he stumbled across an avuka shel or, a torch. Wow. A torch, a candle, a lantern. Nitzel min hakotzim umin habarkanim. So now at least he's not going to fall into a ditch. He's not going to walk into a thorn bush. But he's still scared of what? It's still very dark. He's still afraid of wild animals. He's still afraid of robbers. When the light of day starts to arise, now he feels a little bit better. The wild animals go back into their hiding spots. The robbers also, who look to ambush people in the darkness, they also disappear. He feels a lot safer. But he's still a bit lost. He still doesn't know where he's going. Once he makes it to the crossroads, now everything is good. So my friends, let's just pause for a second, because the Kedushas Levi, the Heilige Berditchever, used to use this Gemara really as a mashal for Chanukah. Right? We're coming out of a dark, dreary Marcheshvan, a month that doesn't have any mitzvos, and it's dark outside, and it's cold, and now we're working our way through Kislev. We're 5 days into Kislev, and now we're 8 days into Kislev, 9 days into Kislev, and we're trying to find our way until finally we see that light in the distance, the Ner Chanukah, and we start to feel, you know, we're actually going to make it. That's why Chanukah was the last holiday ever established. It guides us from the second Beis Hamikdash all the way till Mashiach. So Chanukah is like that light that's guiding us through the forest. It's a very fitting mashal. Again, the Tzaddikim, Sefer Chassidus, pick up on this Gemara and use it really as a mashal for Chanukah. But continues the Gemara. Now that he found his way through the forest, he feels safe, he found the candle, he saw the light of day, he got to the crossroads, we'll find out what all these things are. Says the Gemara, let's go a little bit further. Davar acher, aveira mechaba mitzvah ve'in aveira mechaba Torah. Maybe to say it differently, says the Gemara, an aveira can extinguish a mitzvah, can cancel a mitzvah, but an aveira can't extinguish Torah. If you have the merit of Torah, even if you do aveiras afterwards, it doesn't extinguish, it doesn't cancel out your Torah. Shenemar mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechavos es ha'ava. Because no amount of water could extinguish the love that is felt when a Jew studies Torah. Amar Rav Yosef, Gemara goes a little bit further, it's a long Gemara. Mitzvah be'idna da'asik ba migna umatzla. Be'idna da'lo asik ba agune migna atzule lo matzla. Says Rav Yosef, when you do a mitzvah, at the moment that you're involved in it, it's migna, it protects, and it saves. What does it mean, it protects and it saves? It protects you from troubles, and it saves you from the Yetzirah. Right? So while I'm shaking my lulav and esrog, I'm probably going to be able to have the strength to what? To overcome the Yetzirah. But the idna delo asigba, but when I put down my lulav and esrog, agune migna may still offer some spiritual protection in terms of yisurim and difficulties in life, but if I don't have that weapon in my hand, the mitzvah, I can't fight off the Yetzirah. That's mitzvos. Torah is an even higher level. Bein be'idna da'asikba, bein be'idna da'lo'asikba. At the moment I'm studying, or even after I closed my Gemara, it still protects. Migna umatzla. It's magain and it's matzil. It guards and protects from hardship and from Yetzirah. Amrele Rava. Rava says, are you sure you got that right? Doeg and Achitofel, who challenged the authority of David and got themselves into quite a bit of trouble, they were big Talmidei Chacham, the Gemara says. So why didn't their learning protect them? Doeg and Achitofel, milo havu aske b'torah? They were big Torah scholars. Amaylo hagina alayu, why didn't it protect them? Why didn't it save them? Ela amar Rava, Rava says, let me shift how it works. Torah is so great that be'idna da'asikba, while you're involved in it, it protects you from hardship, and it saves you from the Yetzirah. But even as great as Torah is, be'idna da'lo asikba, when you're not studying Torah, at the moment you're studying Torah, the Yetzirah can't get you. But when you're not studying Torah, maybe it'll still protect you, the merit of Torah will protect you, again, from life's troubles, but it won't save you from the Yetzirah. A mitzvah on an even lower level, even at the moment that you're osik in it, even while you're busy with it, be'idna da'asikba, bein be'idna da'lo asikba, agune migna v'atzuli l'matzli. Even when I'm doing a mitzvah, the Yetzirah can still get me. I can be davening Shmona Esrei, my mind could be all over the place. My mind could be thinking about all sorts of negative things. So mitzvahs don't protect. Torah, when a person's seriously locked into Torah, so that protects him from the Yetzer Hara, at the moment at least that he's studying. And lastly, says the Gemara, higia laparshas drachim, when you make it to the crossroads, then you know you're out of the forest. So the Gemara says, my parshas drachim, what is the crossroad? Rav Chista Amar, zeh tamid chacham v'yom amisa. If you're a tamid chacham and you made it to the end, you made it to the day of death, then you can finally say, okay, I'm safe. Until your dying day, the Yetzer Hara can always get you. Rav Nachman Amar, zeh tamid chacham v'yiras chet. What is the crossroad? A tamid chacham who's not just a basket of books in his head, but he's God-fearing, and he fears sin. This refers to a Talmud Chacham who learns the Gemara, learns the Torah in such a way that he comes to halachically correct conclusions. Amar Rav Yosef, Darash Rav Menachem Bar Yossi Lahaikra. Rav Menachem Bar Yossi expounded upon the Pasuk, and he expounded it in such a crystal clear way, I have a slightly different version here in the sefer in front of me. Kisinai. Rav Menachem Bar Yossi darshan the pasuk Kisinai, as well as a person could say a Devar Torah standing at the foot of Har Sinai. And if Ilmale darshu doeg v'achitofel lahaikra, had doeg and achitofel understood the pasuk properly, then what? Then they wouldn't have chased after David. Lo radfu basar David. It looks like we're missing a couple of words on the screen. Lo radfu basar David. They never, Achitofel and Doeg never would have started up with David HaMelech if they would have understood this pasuk properly. The way that Rav Menachem Bar Yossi did. What pasuk? Dichsiv, Lemar Elokim Azavo. They claim that what? That Elokim Azavo, that God has abandoned him, referring to David HaMelech. Ridfu v'sifsuhu. Chase him and grab him, ki ein matzah, because nothing is going to protect him. My darish, why did they think that David lost God's protection? V'lo yira b'cha ervas davar v'shab me'acherecha. The pasuk says that Hashem will not abandon a person who doesn't have ervas davar, but David had ervas davar. David was involved with Bathsheba. So Doeg and Achitofel said, David has lost his protection from Hashem. But they didn't realize that an Aveira extinguishes a mitzvah, but an Aveira doesn't extinguish Torah. And David HaMelech had a lot of Torah, and therefore even though he messed up with Bathsheba, if you want to say he messed up, that he was involved even in an act of Arayos, lo aleinu, nonetheless his Torah protected him. And that's why Doeg and Achitofel were not successful in their plans against David HaMelech. Okay, Ad Kan, that's the Gemara, a very lengthy Gemara. So now let's just see if we can get one little piece of it. Ubir inyan zeh. Let's start off with Torah and mitzvah. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. Let's understand what is a ner, what is an or, and why is learning Torah and being connected to Torah so great? Mitzvah is also so great, but why is Torah beyond? Explains the Maharal. Ubir inyan zeh ki a mitzvah tikra ner. Why is it that a mitzvah is called a candle, a candelabra? Right, a lantern. Mipnei shahaner haor shelo nitla beguf hashemen v'hapsila. Because a ner, let's take a flame, right, on top of a candle. Let's imagine there's a wick or there's some oil. There's shemen. There's a psila. The light is attached. It's held down by the guf, by the substance of the shemen, of the oil and the wick. Uvnei kach ein or gamor. It's not a light that's not tangible. You could touch the top of the flame. You don't want to. It would hurt. Right? But the light that's being generated by the top of that candle, that little flame on top, that nair, is not freed from physicality. It's held down by the wick. It's held down by the oil. And a mitzvah is also, where is a mitzvah? How is a mitzvah held down by us? Because the mitzvah is tied to a physical object. The mitzvah is attached to my body, to the service of my body. Ve'ein ha-mitzvah davar nivda lagamri b'shvilza. A mitzvah is not entirely abstract. It's not transcendent. What about Torah? What about Torah? Says the Maharal, Torah, unlike a mitzvah which is attached to the physical world, attached to the guf, Torah she'ena nitla b'guf, Torah which is not dependent upon the body, Torah which transcends the body, Torah, which is the world of neshama, Lekach tikra haTorah or. Therefore, Torah is compared to what? To the intangible light. Ki haor hu nivdol legamri, eina nitla v'geshem. It's like the ray of the sun that you could feel on your face. It's so real, you could touch it, but it's not connected to anything. It doesn't have a physical substance that you can grasp in your hand. So Torah also is transcendent in that way. It's so interesting, and again, it's so timely in terms of Chodesh Kislev, to talk about how Torah is this knowledge, this set of values, of knowledge, of ideas that transcends the body. Because think about the Syrian Greeks, think about the Yavanim. The Yavanim, the great philosophers who we've really been speaking about for the last, I don't know, four prokim, right? The challenge of philosophers against Torah, against the Torah which seems to be of lesser value than their great philosophical ideas. But think about, what do we know about the Greeks? What do we know about this, the world of the Syrian Greeks? What do we know about Greek philosophy? What came along with it? In addition to the honor that was given to man-made ideas, maybe more so than God-made ideas, there was a tremendous obsession with the body. Right? Yavan comes from Yefes. Yafu social Yefes. The Gemara talks about the beauty of Yefes. They were very obsessed with physicality, with physical beauty, with adorning and enhancing the guf, the pleasures of the guf. Ironically, people who are such great minds were so attracted to the taivas haguf. And therefore, the Svarim HaKadoshim, Sifrei Chassidus, tell us that the gematria of guf, 89, is the same as the gematria of Chanukah, 89. Because Chanukah is sort of the zeh l'umazeh, right? It's the opposite force against the elevation of the guf. And therefore, Chanukah, which is a celebration of Torah, it fits so beautifully with what the Maharal is writing here. Torah is eina nitla b'guf. A person who's true to Torah, and Torah wins over Greek philosophy, is a person who transcends the body. That's what Chanukah is about, transcending the body. It's a seichel nivdol, it's an or. That's what Chanukah is, it's the holiday of or. Right? It's an ability to be above the guf and to tap into the world of neshama. Neshama, the Svarim say, is the same letters as Shemona, eight, the eight nights of Chanukah. It's the same letters as Hashemen, right? The pure oil. The oil which represents, again, sort of the abstract wisdom of Torah. Ki ha'or hu nivda legami, eino nitla begeshem. Or is the ray of light that's not attached to a wick, is not held down by a candelabra. It's able to be transcendent. So that's what Torah is. Torah is beyond the guf. V'yadua shekol davar shu beguf hu bezman. And then the Maharal says, and let me tie it all together tonight just to wrap it up. Says the Maharal, anything that's attached to physicality is also limited in time. Our bodies will not last forever. As hard as it is for us to accept that fact, our neshama will last forever. But my body is limited. It has a limited amount of time. V'chol davar she'eino beguf, but the more one frees itself from the body, eino tachas hazman. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is 120 years old, and because he's an ish elokim, as he's called at the end of the Torah, he's a God-man, he has transcended his body, he's full strength. The only reason Moshe dies at the end of the Torah is because there's a mitzvah for him to die. Hashem commands him to die. He doesn't need to die. He's not out of time. Most people, we run out of time because we're attached to our body, in some measure, at the very least. So a mitzvah, which is attached to physicality, by definition is attached to time, says the Maharal so beautifully, so a mitzvah can only protect a person for a period of time. A mitzvah is attached to zman. Sha'or ha'aloki shehu b'mitzvah hu nit l'beguf. The same way the mitzvah is attached to the body, attached to a physical reality, so the reward of the mitzvah is also limited. Right? K'mo ha'or shehu b'ner ha'nit l'beguf. Just like that flame at the end of the candle, which is attached to the wick, which is attached to whatever it's drawing its life force from, but it's limited, it'll run out. The candles eventually go out. But the Torah, which transcends the body, aval Torah, which is what? Which is miuchedes la'or, Torah which represents abstract light, light that is not dependent upon oil. And if it is dependent upon oil, you'll say, well, Chanukah, it was a menorah that was dependent upon oil. But obviously, right, because it's a celebration of the menorah, which represents Torah, the light of Torah, even though, yes, it started off with physical oil, but it had this ability to what? To transcend time. And that's why it just kept burning and kept burning and kept burning and kept burning. Because of its connection to Torah, even though it was physical oil, it became infinite. It became beyond time. She'ein or gashmi. She'ein bo davar mamish. Just like, again, a ray of light that you can't hold in your hand. It seems to be unlimited. Kacha Torah hi seichel nivdal. Torah, which is abstract ideas that transcend physicality. Laficha ha-Torah megina la'olam. So now we understand the Gemara. Now we understand why the Gemara says a mitzvah can only protect you so much. But Torah protects forever. Sharei ha-davar ha-nivdal min ha-gashmi eino nitla bizman. Because something which is freed from physicality is freed from time as well. And therefore Torah transcends time. Right? Not only in the sense that it's always the right time to learn Torah. There's such a beautiful line from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, you know, if you were to sit in your sukkah eating matzah, so nishna mitzvah, right? And if you were to sit at your Pesach Seder with your lulav and esrog, you know, people would laugh at you, right? But learning Maseches Sukkah on Pesach is a mitzvah. Learning Maseches Pesachim on Sukkis, that works because Torah is always the right time for Torah. Torah is not limited. The mitzvah has a right time. I can't eat matzah any other time than on Pesach and expect to get credit for it. It's limited by time. But Torah transcends time. Torah, that's always, you know, I'm learning Maseches Pesachim with the guys in YU this year, right now. You know, it's always like that first moment of shir. Like, are we actually going to be learning about Pesach the whole year? And the answer is yes. Because Pesach is not only about, when you're learning the Torah of Pesach, the mitzvahs of Pesach you can't do all year. But the Torah of Pesach is always relevant all the time. So the same thing is true in terms of the schar. The schar for Limud Torah is infinite, just like the Torah itself. It's not limited by a guf. It's not bound by time. A mitzvah, because it's attached to physicality, and by definition it's attached to time, so the shmira, the protection of a mitzvah, is by definition more limited in that way.